Welcome to Class Matters, an educational program examining the role played by social classes and the class divide in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Rich Whitney.
I'm Paula.
We discuss matters of class because class matters. And today on Class Matters, well, you know, we've often been speaking recently in this program about how the federal government has been censoring speech. And we also talk about how the federal government propagandizes us, but another aspect of what the federal government does is that it spies on us. At the very same time that it keeps its own activity, or a lot of its own activity, secret from us. So yeah, these are all things that our government is doing, all hallmarks of a fascistic or repressive or authoritarian society, whatever you want to call it. And it's doing more of it. And today we want to focus in on Section 702, well, actually not just Section 702, but all of the Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act, also known as FISA, which was passed in the days after 9/11, supposedly as a temporary measure, but guess what? It's still with us. As a matter of fact, Congress just in the last few days has reauthorized it yet again.
I thought FISA was one of those 70s, 80s reforms after they found the overreach of the federal government back then. And back then, the Americans back in the 70s and 80s believed in the Bill of Rights, and there was great outrage. That's when I thought they passed FISA, because they found out that the government was spying on them. It's kind of like the War Powers Act, right?
Right.
Only Congress can declare war. But then these presidents were sending troops to war, so the reform was, well, you can do it, but you have to tell us after.
Right.
Well, FISA was, well, you can spy, but you have to take it to court, a secret court with secret evidence, and convince the court that it's okay to spy, and it can only be foreigners.
So I stand corrected. The original FISA bill was passed in 1978. Definitely Section 702 then must have been the new part.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, another reform.
Right.
Oh, look, you know, now we need to reform it more, meaning make it more repressive, destroy the Bill of Rights a little bit more.
Yeah, so Section 702 supposedly prohibits the government from intentionally targeting Americans, either directly or indirectly, but nonetheless, in the course of surveilling hundreds of thousands of foreign targets, the National Security Agency, incidentally, and I'm putting that in scare quotes, collects millions of communications to or from Americans who have done nothing to merit suspicion, let alone warrantless surveillance.
That's how
in violation of their constitutional right to privacy.
That's how they went after Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly how the deep state went after Trump. They used this. You know, and they took it to the FISA court. They even lied to the FISA court. The evidence was so flimsy that they couldn't even put it out there. They had to lie.
Yeah. So this law that's supposed to only be about surveilling foreign communications has, in fact, been used to target domestic communications. And it's been widely, widely abused. And yet Congress, once again, has reauthorized it. Not only did they reauthorize it last weekend, but they actually have made it worse. And to talk about that, I want to begin with an article by Matt Taibbi at racket.news. But you wanted to share something else, Paul?
I just wanted to say, when you said it's been abused and yet Congress renewed it, I would say it's been abused and that's why Congress renewed it, because they're in the pay of the imperialists.
They really are. And we just saw more illustrations of that in what's just been happening the last few days.
Yeah.
So this article, which you can find at Racket News by Matt Taibbi, an independent journalist who is really following this closely. On April 16th, he had an article called "Can the Everyone is a Spy Bill Be Stopped?" And as we'll find out from a later article by Matt, the answer to that is no, but this is telling more about it.
I know what our congressman will do.
Yeah, well, he's probably already done it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
A week ago.
Like he said before he ever got elected, I don't know anything about that. When I get to Washington, I'll just vote how they tell me to vote.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, he's never going to get elected now. And look at him on his fifth term.
Yeah, right. So a week ago Friday, after a controversial amendment requiring a warrant to spy on Americans failed, when Speaker Mike Johnson cast a rare and dramatic deciding vote, the House of Representatives reauthorized the FISA surveillance program. The bill's passage garnered headlines and concerns among civil liberties advocates, but it turned out something scarier loomed in the text. Intelligence agencies so often get what they ask for from Congress, in part because game-changing national security legislation can look so unassuming on paper. The bill the House sent to the Senate, the FISA Reform and Reauthorization Act of 2023, or the FRA, contained a snippet of unremarkable sounding language on its 51st page in Section 704.
Yeah, I'm sure our Congress member didn't read that.
Yeah, definition of an electronic communication service provider. The relevant portion inserts the words equipment that is being or may be used to transmit or store such communications, and it also inserts the word custodian after employee. So, what is an ECSP, or Electronic Communication Service Provider? In essence, it's a company that's obligated to salute and say, "Yes, sir," when the National Security Agency demands access to private data it deems likely to contain foreign intelligence information. Said companies not only do not have the option of refusing these queries, they're as a rule gagged and prevented from informing clients that their information has been accessed by the state. Basically, they do it in secret, and then you're pledged to keep it secret if you're a target of this. So you can't even tell anyone else.
Well, that's what the Patriot Act did. They even did with the libraries. The FBI can go into the library and ask what books you've been checking out, and the librarian can't even tell you that they did that.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. It's a police state. You were talking about this as a hallmark of totalitarian society. This is like the new and improved version of totalitarian societies where they have so many more ways to spy on you.
Right.
Is exactly what it is. And remember that one phone company when this first started after 2001, they started demanding the phone companies let them tap the wires, so to speak.
Right.
One company stood up against it, and I forget the name of that company because it's long gone, because they targeted the leader. I think they even put him in jail.
Yeah, it might have been Sprint, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
It was something like that. It was a short word. I don't think it was Sprint, but yeah. And it's sad to say I can't even remember the company or the man's name, because that just shows what being brave gets you in this country, what being a hero gets you in this country. Yeah. What was that guy's name? Yeah, I don't remember. That's pathetic.
Yeah, yeah. So the current definition before this so-called amendment or reform was already broad because it covered behemoth firms like Verizon and Google that handle the bulk of data flows. And it basically included in the definition any communication service provider who has access to wire or electronic communications, either as such communications are transmitted or as they are stored. However, 2 years ago, in April 2022, the Assistant Attorney General for National Security and the Director of National Intelligence sought and got the usual permission from the FISA court to query a company. But this one company balked and petitioned to set aside the order via a procedure outlined in the law, claiming it didn't fit the definition of electronic communication service provider.
Well, good for them. I wonder what company that was.
Yeah, well,
it wouldn't have been 2022. They got rid of that guy like 20 years ago.
Right, right.
So
shockingly, first the Foreign Intelligence Service Court and then the FISC Court of Review agreed, adding that, and this is quoting them now, the FISC Court of Review, any unintended gap in coverage revealed by our interpretation is open to reconsideration by the branches of government whose competence and constitutional authority extend to statutory revision. In other words, go bother Congress with this.
In other words, we've found a slight chink in the armor of our spying apparatus. Go to Congress and make them fix it.
And that's exactly what they did. This ruling of last August reportedly was not well received in the intelligence community and quickly led to heated appeals to lawmakers, including especially members of the House Intelligence Committee, who lobbied the leadership in both parties to fix the glitch. The eventual result was new language in the reauthorization bill. Starting with the existing definition of an ECSP as a company with access to wire or electronic communications, either as such communications are transmitted or as such communications are stored, members now wrapped in any employee, agent, or custodian of equipment that is being used or may be used to transmit or store such communications.
Oh my, now they got the night janitor involved.
Well,
in this.
Exactly. Unfortunately, this isn't as dull a change as it sounds. What might it look like in practice? The way that definition is written, that could apply to anyone who could access these electronic communications, said one Hill staffer. That includes the cable guy. It includes a plumber or an electrician or anyone who could physically access a wire, a cable, box Wi-Fi, or a phone or a computer. Another hypothetical comes by way of Mark Zwillinger, an attorney who served as an amicus curiae to the FISA court. This new role for an outside expert with top security clearances was created after the Edward Snowden leaks. The FISA court must consult with one of its amici when a case presents a novel or significant interpretation of the law. Zwillinger described what the proposed new section might cover, and he gave this hypothetical. A Fortune 100 U.S. company has a foreign-based board member. It rents space in One Vanderbilt in New York City, a Class A building, with pre-wired connectivity to communications center in the building where each tenant's wiring connects to the Internet. The U.S. government wants to target either the communications of the foreign-based director or other executives. It goes to the owner of One Vanderbilt and asks for access to the equipment and/or the wires in the building. The change to Section 702 would likely allow that entire communication stream to be routed off to secret government equipment so that the communications could be examined, even though the landlord isn't a communications service provider. Zwillinger added that if the government doesn't want to go to the landlord, it could go to the U.S. company's managed security service provider, or cleaning service, or a shredding company, noting that all are service providers with access to the equipment. So you're right, it literally could be a janitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, one of the few good senators in Congress on this issue, even suggested implications for journalists, as described in a story that day in the New York Times. Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, has circulated a warning that the provision could be used to conscript someone with access to a journalist's laptop to extract communications between that journalist and a hypothetical foreign source who is targeted for intelligence.
Funny, though, they weren't interested at all in Hunter Biden's laptop, were they? They sat on that for 2 years they were forced to actually, they never did really release it.
Well, some of them did. The Washington Post eventually did correct it.
I mean, the FBI sat on that. They knew the whole time.
Yeah.
They knew the whole time because this all happened before the first impeachment, right? They knew the whole time that Trump was right in asking about that Burisma thing. But they didn't say a dang word. They let the Democrats stand up there, lie through their teeth. They let Trump be impeached. They never said a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Elizabeth Goteen of the Brennan Center tweeted that this law could be defined to cover any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever. If you're sensing a theme, it's that opponents of the bill believe the maximalist interpretation of this law would mean literally anyone could be compelled or conscripted to help give the NSA or FBI access to your data.
What if you don't like the deep state, but you just happen to be working in a place that they have targeted and they target you?
Yeah.
Then you got to do it or go to prison.
Oh, right, right. Well, as a matter of fact, I don't know if we'll have time for it, but we may get to another article talking about how the FBI targeted its own employees. This stuff does happen.
Yeah. And people think they live in a free country. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah. We're not even close.
Not even close.
This hypothetical expansion of authority is disturbing enough for Wyden to call it terrifying. Worse, there isn't even a logical reason for it. The Fisk Review Court decision in August that supposedly triggered such uproar among intelligence officials only involved one type of company. The Times mentioned data centers or centralized warehouses of computer servers that can be accessed anywhere. Nonetheless, intelligence officials did not limit their legislative ask to one area, saying they feared signaling to hostile nations which type of company they'd approach. The Times explained this alleged reason for the intelligence community's aversion to a narrow fix. Quote, even as national security officials describe the provision as a narrow fix to a technical issue, they have declined to explain a classified court ruling from 2022 to which the provision is a response, citing the risk of tipping off foreign adversaries.
We can't reveal our sources. We'd rather see an entire civilian airliner be blown out of the sky than reveal our sources.
Right. And this is kind of the equivalent of that. We don't want to reveal our sources, so we're just going to ask for the moon. And guess what? They got it.
Well, of course they did. This Congress is feckless. This Congress has nothing in common with the Congress of the 30s or the Congress of the 70s. This is like, I don't know what the worst Congress ever, but it's got to be up there. It's pathetic. It's disgusting.
Though the government under FISA can't legally target American citizens, it can and does target foreigners who talk, text, or write to Americans, and they still don't need a warrant to grab those communications. As noted last week, a Fisk judge admitted to 278,000 non-compliant FBI queries in 1 year alone.
Wow.
That's a scary number, but most Americans have already baked ubiquitous government surveillance into their thinking about online and even home communications. What makes this different? For one, this provision could create a major new cultural change, making ongoing compulsory partnerships with federal enforcement a feature of life for landlords, cleaners, shredders, cable companies, and other private businesses far below the executive suite level.
It's kind of pathetic, but he's right. You know, back in the old days when we were coming up, if someone thought their phone was tapped or someone thought their TV was listening to them, we thought we would make that little circle thing around our head like, yeah, he's kind of nuts, right?
Right.
That was considered the hallmark of a person that was off their rocker, to put it politely, right? It's true that we know that our phones are listening to us. I mean, we just noticed that the other day. We were talking about something, and right away I went online, and boom, an ad popped up. Now, that's not a coincidence.
Right.
Because it was for a bizarre product. Right. And that's not the first time that has happened. It happens to everyone, and everyone now knows your phone is spying on you, your computer is spying on you, your TV is spying on you. And what's more, now they've got smart refrigerators and smart cars and smart microwaves.
Right.
And they're all spying on you, too. So, you know, people are just used to it now. It didn't take long for people to get used to living in a Big Brother type, completely totalitarian society. And that doesn't make you free. You're living in a prison state. It doesn't matter if you aren't personally in an actual Menards prison.
Right.
You're still living in a prison state.
Yeah, that's right. One of the bill's sponsors, Connecticut Democrat Jim Himes, scoffed at concerns. The privacy groups, and I admire their commitment to civil liberties, but they have suggested that this is bringing back the Stasi, Himes told the Times. What they are doing is massive exaggerating.
It's much worse than the Stasi.
Yeah, exactly.
They always do that. Oh, the Stasi was so horrible. The Stasi relied on people that you knew turning you in for things that you said, right? It didn't rely on them listening to every single thing you said, even in the privacy of your own home, your own car. No, this is far worse than that.
Yeah, they have powers the Stasi could never dream of.
This is FBI.
Yeah.
This is deep state. This is far beyond Stasi.
Yep.
When they're talking about spying overreach by the government, they shouldn't bring up Stasi. They should bring up U.S. deep state. Because that is the worst.
Yep. So Taibbi writes, when the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee defends a surveillance bill by saying it's exaggerating to invoke the Stasi, it's time to panic. I put in a call to block the Everyone is a Spy bill this morning, but the game might have been decided last week. As one aide put it, this bill will force us to trust the NSA, and we already know we can't. And then he quotes Edward Snowden, who put something on X. If you work at a U.S. tech firm, this bill could transform your whole company into a spy machine, whether you like it or not, and will be voted on in days. The entire industry needs to be lobbying to kill this thing. This is what a red alert looks like. But unfortunately, that warning went unheeded. Now, going on, I would like to call attention to an article by Li Fang at his Li Fang Substack from April 13th, in which he wrote an article entitled Congressman Victimized by FBI Spying Votes for More Warrantless Spying Powers. And it pointed out that Representative Darren LaHood from Illinois, he's from up north, expressed outrage last year over the snooping revelations, yet he voted to extend the surveillance program that spied on him without a court order. This is how feckless
syndrome.
These people have gotten.
Should we make it Illinois syndrome? No, I think we stick with Stockholm syndrome. Oh, my owner spied on me, but you know, it's okay. I will still obey their orders.
Yeah.
Because I want that money.
Anyway, we'd recommend you take a look at that article. But for now, I want to move on to the further update by Matt Taibbi at Racket News. And he wrote just yesterday, a Saturday massacre in Congress.
And it was Hitler's birthday.
Yeah.
On top of it now. Coincidence?
Maybe not.
I think not. Come on now. They don't work on Saturdays. They hardly work at all. Congress only works a third of the year, right?
Well,
but they go in on Hitler's birthday to vote for the Nazis in Ukraine and to vote for more Gestapo-type surveillance.
Well, that's why they worked on Saturday, because this is so important to them.
Well, and I'm just saying, you cannot discard the fact that it was Hitler's birthday.
Yeah, right.
Because they like numbers. They like anniversaries. They're all about that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So he marked the day, Saturday, April 20th, 2024. Do members of Congress work for voters or for the Pentagon and the intelligence community? You be the judge.
As if we didn't already know.
Yeah, surrender number one. Congress allows executive branch to reauthorize its own power. The first betrayal began with a lie. Heading into the weekend, it was widely reported that unless the Senate reauthorized Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which among other things allows the government to collect communications of Americans without a warrant, an April 19th deadline would expire. Our poor government would be forced to make do for whole days, if not longer, without warrantless spying authority.
Oh my, what will we do?
Yeah. House to take up bill to reauthorize crucial U.S. spy program as expiration date looms, as the AP put it, was a typical headline. House Speaker Mike Johnson was one of many politicians who pushed the notion, saying on April 12th, we still have time on the clock to get FISA reauthorized by the 19th. This was all fake. The law was already extended. On April 5th of this year, Joe Biden's Department of Justice effectively granted itself a one-year extension of FISA, meaning the real deadline was April of 2025. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin and others repeatedly announced the fact, so Dick Durbin actually did good in this case, even on the Senate floor, but the press didn't report it. The U.S. Department of Justice has already obtained a fresh one-year certification from this court to continue Section 702 surveillance through April of 2025, Durbin said Thursday, while arguing the need to require warrants to spy on Americans. So he was one of the good guys on this particular issue who was actually pushing to include a warrant requirement on Americans.
Like it says in the Constitution?
Yeah, right, in the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
Durbin continued, there is no need for the Senate to swallow whole a House bill that expands rather than reforms Section 702. And then he's got a link to, you can actually listen to Durbin on a YouTube talking about this. Similarly, at the end of last year, Section 702 had been set to expire on December 31st amid another panic. Congressional leaders inserted an extension through April 19th into the must-pass National Defense Authorization Act, seemingly tying the FISA extension to all military appropriations and staving off the horror of even temporary FISA-less existence.
Well, see, you're probably right. This probably also happened after 9/11. Because remember, originally when they destroyed the Bill of Rights and people were complaining about it, they go, oh, it's only for 5 years.
Right.
It's only during this whole emergency, 9/11. After that, it expires.
Yeah.
And then they just kept renewing it. I don't even know if the Patriot Act anymore, or did they just drop the whole pretense? Now it's permanent.
Well, no, they keep renewing it, but every time they renew it, they talk about reforming it, but they don't reform it in a positive way. Whenever they reform it at all, like this last thing, they make it worse.
It's the deep state.
Yeah.
It's as bad as the deep state. And same with this FISA thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it turns out even the panicky temporary renewal that occurred on December 31st, that was also a fake, as the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Freedom of the Press Foundation, and two dozen other groups wrote to congressional leaders at the end of last year, the government was already conducting surveillance pursuant to a one-year FISA court authorization from the previous year. In other words, the executive branch has been reauthorizing itself 2 years running, and Congress has gone along. setting the precedent that spy agencies need not ask permission to do anything at all.
Well, that's what happened with the War Powers.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why they had the War Powers Act.
Right.
Because the presidents just ignored that whole only Congress shall declare war for 2 decades.
Yeah.
And Congress went, oh, okay, well, here, we'll pass the War Powers Act.
Right, right. So basically, the executive branch has just usurped this authority, and Congress is now just going through the motions and approving it after the fact.
It's a totalitarian state with pretty much a single executive government. It's not Joe Biden, of course. It's whoever handles him. It's king-like
yeah.
powers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mean King Charles. I mean king-like in the old days.
Right.
When the king had ultimate power.
So Taibbi writes, it turns out the only real check on the continuation of the FISA program is the FISA court itself, which approved the Department of Justice's request in late February of this year for an early extension. Assistant Attorney General Matthew Olson told the New York Times when the request was made that bypassing Congress was necessary because it is, quote unquote, our responsibility to avoid a dangerous gap in collection.
God forbid they quit spying on the American people for even a day.
Right. So Taibbi emphasizes our responsibility, not yours.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, having congressional approval is better than not. So yesterday, the Senate passed reauthorization of Section 702 in a blowout. The 60-34 vote win included crushing defeat of 2 key amendments. Durbin's amendment seeking requirement of a warrant to review the communications of Americans was squashed 50-42.
Pathetic.
An even more important amendment introduced by Democrat Ron Wyden and Republican Cynthia Loomis, it ended up being called the Wyden-Hawley Amendment, was routed 58-34. That one was designed to cut out a seemingly small provision covered here last week, that's the article we read earlier, that massively expands the number of companies and individuals who will be forced to cooperate with FISA surveillance requests under the new law. The new provision has been dubbed the Everybody is a Spy Law, and all it needs now is for someone to help Joe Biden add his signature.
As if that's even in question.
Yeah. But Biden's not the only bad guy here, nor are these members of Congress. We have to include Donald Trump here. It turns out he was behind some of these machinations, even though he, like that Representative Darren LaHood, was a big victim of this law.
Well, this says kill FISA. It was legally used against me.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's right. That's what he said. But as we'll see from this, he then turned on his own proclamation.
Jeez. Toothpaste.
Kill FISA. It was illegally used against me, Donald Trump posted on Truth Social on April 10th. It would take too long to chronicle all the huffing and puffing Republicans have done about FISA in recent years.
That's true.
After it was used illegally as part of an investigation into Donald Trump's campaign in 2016.
That's what I was talking about.
Right, but also obtained the communications of tens of thousands of protesters, racial justice activists, 19,000 donors to a congressional campaign, journalists, and members of U.S. Congress. Republicans, as a result, now overwhelmingly oppose reauthorization of FISA, and members like Devin Nunes collectively sacrifice their careers to expose its misuse. How could the party cave on this issue?
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. When Trump posted Kill FISA, it coincided by a move among a cadre of House Republicans to block a procedural vote allowing a vote on the overall bill. It was the fourth such instance and deemed a major embarrassment for leadership, suggesting that Trump rather than Johnson really controlled the House caucus. Despite all this, 2 days later, Trump received Johnson at Mar-a-Lago and gave the appearance of backing him against a leadership challenge, among other things, over this issue. "He's doing a great job," Trump said. Once Johnson cast the key vote to reauthorize warrantless FISA, it set the stage for yesterday's Senate vote. To say this is confusing is an understatement. Both Trump and Johnson spent a lot of time talking about the border in their press release, but a major subtext was mutual surrender on other issues like FISA.
Shame on them.
There is no price imaginable that Trump could extract from Johnson that would seem to make giving in on FISA worth it politically. Was Republican opposition to FISA ever real? So they paraded, they postured, they said, oh yeah, we oppose FISA. And then they just caved and Trump and Johnson were all part of it. For shame. Well, there is more to this story. I have other articles I could share, but we're just about out of time. Again, you can find these two articles at Racket News. That's the website of Matt Taibbi, racket.news. And again, there was another great article by Li Fang at his website. That's lifang.com. And you can find more about it by going to these sources and reading the stories yourself. Thanks for listening to Class Matters. We'll be with you again next Monday.